In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, today's gospel, which is very short, it's a parable, about covetousness. And, but it's interesting, for some reason, the Holy Fathers, when they selected this parable for reading on this Sunday, they left out a few verses ahead of it, which I think actually are important. And so basically what happens prior to the reading of the parable is that one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And he said to them, that is, our Lord said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And what's interesting, he spoke this not to just to the brother that was appealing to him for discernment and judgment about sharing the inheritance, but he spoke to both of them. "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And then the parable begins. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to be so to store my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So here we have. And I think that in my thinking about this parable and thinking about what we should address today, it just seems to me that we, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, all of us, are in bondage. We are. We're truly in bondage. And we're in bondage to it's like a net. It's not a simple net. It's a net with multiple layers. And it catches us. And if it doesn't catch us in one layer, it catches us in another layer. And here we are, caught in this net of our existence in the world today. And basically it seems to me that we have been, but just take material things. You think of all that we have, and then you think of all that we need. And this, of course, is amazing. And honestly, it seems to me that I hate to harken back, to experiences prior to our current situation. And I always love to reference Ariadne, who understands because she's a similar era as I am, that there was a time, actually, when people had very few things. Very few people had a lot of things. Very few people were rich. But the others had very few things. And what's remarkable about it is, at least in my existence, some of the fondest memories that I have are during the period when we had very little. And a lot of those memories relate to relationships with brothers and sisters and mother and father and aunts and uncles and friends and neighbors. Because This is what you had. People would get together and share with one another what they had, which might be a little piece, you know, a little cake or something they bake and time together and talking or perhaps playing games, innocent games, and sharing their life. And today, of course, it's very different. People are caught. Let's say that the internet. The net of the internet. I mean, there you go. How are we all caught, to some degree, in this web? And it's real. It really is. It's a net. It's one layer of the nets that have caught us. And somehow or other, even psychological studies, you know, God bless them, are starting to analyze what the effects of this are, and it's turning out that the effects are not at all satisfying, and they're definitely not rewarding. That people go on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, Snapchat and all these other things, and they put out these messages, and they're hoping that somehow or other they're going to connect with something. You know, a few people leave a few idle comments. But where's the connection? To what? To the mind of another person? No, not really. Not really. In fact, people hide behind the internet, right? I mean, the kids, you know, when they are out late and they say, "Dad will be home at 10, and it's, you know, 10:15, they want to stay until 11:30. Do they call on the phone? I mean, the phone is already a mechanism that, you know, creates distance, but at least you can hear the voice of the person. Absolutely, they do not call on the phone. Why? Because they might get a response like, you should be home. You told me you're going to be home. And why are you not home? They don't want to hear it. Right? We don't want to hear it. We're all sucked up into this thing. And the thing is, so, and what does it leave? And where are we? You know, where are we as a people? And what's the solution? Television. Let's be honest about it. There is nothing on television. Maybe ancient faith has some television stations. I'm not a TV person, to be perfectly frank with you. But people sit around and watch these shows that are being put together by profoundly carnal, profoundly degenerate people. And they enter into their lives, you know, and they laugh and, you know, they be sad, you know, and they're manipulated and so on. Why? Why would one choose this slavery? Why? What is going on? And it goes the same with possessions. And, you know, I'm first among possessions. I prostrate myself before God. So, possessions. I mean, the question is really, what does one need? And yes, there are cultural things that we want to bring into our lives, and so we have things that sort of to connect us with cultural things. And there's sometimes, like our icons, for sure, they connect us with the communion of the saints. But in fact, what do we need? And then, of course, the house and how big it is and how many rooms it has and how long we're going to need it and when the kids are going to grow up and what are we going to do after that and how big the mortgage is. And how much are the expenses? So these are nets. They're just layers of nets. They have captured us. And it's a fact. And I speak from experience. I'm not sitting here preaching down at you. I'm actually reflecting on my own bondage, as it were, to all of this. And the difficulty, of course, is what is life? What is life? What is life? Now, what is real life? What's it about and what's it for? And it's clearly, without a question, if you are a Christian, an Orthodox Christian, you understand that life is about entering the kingdom of heaven. You have to understand it. Do you understand this? Do you? It's about entering the kingdom of heaven. It's not about how comfortable we can be or how we can avoid any tensions, you know, created by who knows what. It's about entering the kingdom of heaven. It's not about how much money we have in the bank or how, what kind of clothing we wear or who recognizes us as important or not important. It's about entering the kingdom of heaven. That's what the gospel is about. And these nets, which I've only explored a few, and of which there are many, have us caught. We're caught like a school of fish. We're caught. If the first net doesn't get us, the next one will. And we're exhausted because we're fighting against the net, which we chose to enter into. Exhausted. Just totally exhausted. And then, of course, you know, the work that has been given to us, you know. I think there's statistics which proudly show, you know, how much more Americans work than, say, you know, other people in other countries. And it's, oh, look at how many, you know, there are 68 hours a week and so on, whatever it is. And how much they do. Very proud of us, of course. And the thing is, I remember the days when, you know, the work was right there in front of you, and, you know, you would, I mean, it was gardening and it was taking care of the cows and things like that. But there was this sort of this connection. And even in towns and villages, there was a connection to things. The wealthy people and the poor people and the people in the middle, they all walked the same streets and they all greeted one another. And there was a sense of respect. And there was a great sense of feeling. And I know in my town, and I've told you before, but it's amazing. I mean, they had the Carter Community Building. Well, Carter's overalls used to be a sort of famous brand of overalls. And the Carter family built a social center, basketball courts and all kinds of things, for the kids in town. Another family built these ski jumps, and another family built the baseball field with lighting and, you know, and actually a small stadium and so on. All of these things. And there was a sense of connection. And the folks who were local, you know where they lived, and you saw them leave their homes, and you would greet them on the street and see them, and there was a connection. We are radically disconnected from reality. Let's be honest about it. And the gospel, once again, back to the gospel, is about the kingdom of God. Entering into the kingdom of God. Being transformed. And, you know, it's fascinating because you cannot buy your way out of the circumstances that have entrapped us. There's no way to buy your way out. You can't work your way out of it. It's too encompassing. But there is a way. And it is actually the life of prayer. Now, what's fascinating is this parable about covetousness is followed immediately by a passage that wasn't actually what isn't for today, but I'll read it to you anyway. And so after having presented this parable on covetousness and so on, he says to his disciples, "I say to you, take no thought for your life and what you shall eat, either for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. And God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious about the rest?" And here it becomes very beautiful. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should, which you should eat, nor what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all things do the nations, For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, there's a tremendous contrast, obviously, this beautiful image of the kingdom of God, in contrast to all the struggles of the world. And the question really is how do we enter the kingdom of God? And I pause because I know all of you, and I know many other people besides you, and I know myself. And I know the bondage. I actually know the bondage. We're bound. So how are we going to enter the kingdom of God? And I think through repentance. And repentance is an amazing thing, because it's not as though you have to go out and do something. You can actually get on your knees and bow your head and prostrate yourself before the Mother of God and the Savior and the Mother of God and the saints, quietly in the dark of night when no one sees you. And you can open your heart and your mind and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Please have mercy. Lift me up. Guide me. Lead me out of this darkness and bondage. Can't we all do that? I mean, seriously, think about it. Isn't there a point in the day when there aren't any people around where we can go to kneel on our knees for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and just beg the Lord to lift us up? Say, Lord, please, help me. And I know that in different struggles, times, I remember lifting my hand up and saying, Lord, I don't even know what to ask. And if I knew what to ask for, I wouldn't even know how to obtain it. Can you please take my hand and lead me out of this darkness? Please. And in spite of all my own struggles and passions, I have from time to time realized that in the days that followed, that God was giving special attention and guiding me out of the difficulties. You know, it'd be nice if we could all say morning prayers and evening prayers and keep the fast and so on. And read our, you know, this is a lectionary. The calendars that we sell have the lectionary. Read the scriptures for the day. It'd be nice if we could do that. But I know that most of us are not doing it. I know that we're not. So what can we do? What can we do? And I think we can kneel on our knees once a day, twice a day, and beg God for mercy. And He will hear us. That is something I can testify to from personal experience many times. When you really get down and ask for help, God helps. And He guides us. And He lifts us up. And He gives us direction. Because nothing short of the intervention of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ into the complications of our lives, nothing short of His intervention is going to change our circumstances. And the thing is, obviously we need to make objective modifications. We really do. We need to cut back on things we don't need. You know, we need to make all this type of modification. But really, in reality, the modification is that we need to have our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in our lives on a regular basis, every day, helping us and guiding us. And I think if we could do that, we would grow in Christ in a unique and special way, and He would lift us up. and gather us into his presence. And what does he say? That those who enter the kingdom of God are being more, they're like the glory, more arrayed more gloriously than the lilies of the field, which is a very beautiful image. And what is the arrangement? It's spiritual. The halos and some of that we see in the icons represent the spiritual presence that's with the saint. And each and every one of us has a presence. And if that presence has bowed down in humility to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, that presence will be sanctified and purified no matter what our circumstances are. No matter what our material, whether we're rich or poor, or whether we're in between, God will sanctify us and lift us up and give us strength and lead us on the path of salvation. Brothers and sisters in Christ our God, as we continue in our great, in our holy Lent for Nativity, let us each and every day kneel down before him and before the Mother of God and the saints and beg our Savior and the Mother of God and all the saints to lift us up and show us the glory of his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit.